Good morning. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's your host, Gina Crash, coming to you live from my dining room again. We are socially distanced, but I couldn't be more excited to introduce you to my guest, James Piper Bond. He is the president and CEO of the Living Classrooms Foundation. James, I've been wanting to have you on this program for so long, and I can't think of a more important time to have you on than now during this COVID-19 pandemic. How are you, and good morning.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you. We're grateful for you inviting us on your show, and we are doing well. It's a beautiful morning in Baltimore, and you might hear my 2-year-old in the background. I'm working from home this morning before heading down to our Maritime Park site later this afternoon to help celebrate Juneteenth with a lot of people that will be gathering there.
Yeah, peacefully so, as Baltimore has been a beacon as of late in how to peacefully acknowledge and protest things. And we are acknowledging that, in fact, you're at home, you're hanging out with your 2-year-old, and we're recording this on Juneteenth, but it will air on Father's Day. So in advance, happy Father's Day to you, James.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess the best place to start, I mean, you guys have been around since 1985, but there might be somebody out there that doesn't know what Living Classrooms Foundation's mission is and how you are working within the Baltimore community. So tell us out of the gate, you know, what you're all about.
Well, thank you. Living Classrooms is celebrating our 35th year of serving the Baltimore community, and we've also had a division in D.C. for the last 20 years. And Living Classrooms is all about helping children, youth, and adults to reach their potential academically in the workplace and in their lives through an array of hands-on education programs that utilizes settings that are community centers, recreation centers, environmental centers that we've helped to create over the years, as well as maritime resources, the ships on the harbor. And we also operated, we helped start one of the first charter schools in Maryland, the Crossroads School. We started 20 years ago. So there's an array of programming that also works with those that are most dealing with a lot of challenges in their lives, and such as young men and boys, girls that are coming out of juvenile facilities, and helping them with programs getting on track, working with returning citizens. We work with more returning citizens coming home from prisons that are turning their lives around and helping them with job training programs. So there is many things Living Classrooms does to help the city of Baltimore and Washington, D.C.
Yes, that's right. Important to note that you also serve Washington, D.C. Thank you for bringing that up as well. And you're a Baltimore native, right, James? So how did this sort of come to you as a void that needed to be filled, which is now, you know, expanded into so many different valuable programs for so many people?
Well, I was born in Baltimore, and the Bond and Piper families go back a lot of years. And so I feel fortunate to have come back here after leaving for about a decade. And it's been a wonderful ride that we've had. And we built a tremendous team. Living Classrooms serves over 25,000 children, youth, and adults a year. We employ close to 500 full and part-time people annually, and we have an amazing board of trustees, about 10,000 volunteers. So I've just been fortunate to be working with a tremendous team of people over the years. And I was the first full-time employee many years ago. And it all started with a couple of teachers who had the idea of, how do you bring learning alive? How do you make it relevant, interesting, exciting? How do you make math, science, history exciting? And then how do you weave that together with workforce development, job training, and helping people to be successful in the workplace and in their lives. And then the whole component of health and wellness is weaved into everything we do as well, because having social, emotional health, physical health, mental health, and so we have created things like the Be More Athletic League for middle schoolers, now working with over 1,000 middle schoolers in the city, and many different things that Living Classrooms operates, including Safe Streets, which right now is, you know, especially during the pandemic, our two Safe Streets community centers have remained open. Our employees are essential workers, helping people every day. We're still feeding 350 to 500 people a day out of our powerhouse and other sites. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there certainly is. And I'm glad that you brought up all of that. And also the COVID-19 pandemic, of course. Tell us how it sounds like all of your services haven't been effective in necessarily in a negative way. You've just sort of had to be a little more creative about how you do those things. So would you tell us how you're operating within those restrictions? And also, is this in your time, you know, with Living Classrooms, has this been the toughest thing that you guys have faced, would you say, so far?
Yeah, I think so. As far as the when you have the happening all at once, having a pandemic, having the recession hit, having this movement for social justice, which is something that's extremely important, and we feel strongly about having these all come together at the same time, and it's had a tremendous effect on marginalized communities and in our communities of the city that are struggling, and people are hungry. There's a lot of desperation and need. And so our job is to listen, to respond to the needs of the community, and to do whatever we can to help those most in need. And to work, we have a multi-generational approach too. We work with, because we operate two early childhood centers in partnership with the Y, and so we're working with the youngest of children, babies through four-year-olds, but we also work with their parents and their grandparents. And so if we're going to truly disrupt the cycle of poverty in the city, we can't work in silos, and we need to bring people together to help the entire family to be successful. So to answer your question, yes, I think this is probably our most challenging time.
Yeah, and so what sorts of closings have you had to go through, and then what's kind of like? I guess you're the one that creates that timeline of like when adhering to government regulations, of course. But had you know, I guess you slowly get back to doing everything that you were doing. But it is a unique time, and then I'm glad that you brought up all that's going on with everything. There's just so much going on right now that I'm glad we're having a multi-layered conversation here about on Juneteenth and post Blackout Tuesday and George Floyd and protesting and all kinds of things. We might as well fix the planet before we completely open it back up again, right?
Well, to answer your question about when the pandemic first hit and the closures come down from the governor and the mayor, so forth, we had to close all of our Inner Harbor attractions, which include the historic ships of the harbor, like the Constellation, the submarine, the paddle boats, the electric pirate ships. Those are venues where we employ 35 to 40 youth every summer. They're entry-level jobs. They're attractions that serve the community, the local community, and visitors to the city. Our Frederick Douglass Isaac Myers Maritime Park, which is the site of the country's first black-owned shipyard right at the in Fells Point, which we created 14 years ago to honor Frederick Douglass and Isaac Myers in the first black-owned shipyard in the United States, and is a site of a lot of our programming. That's had to be closed because of the regulations. Our community centers have no longer been able to do in-person inside activities. So we've had to be, the powerhouse, which is our community center and the largest public housing site of East Baltimore, Perkins Home, has been deemed essential. So our personnel has been able to continue to provide service, but just not inside, but we're providing food for 350 plus people a day. We just had Royal Farms bring a whole truckload, food on Monday. We've had restaurants, H&S Bakery gives us 500 loaves of bread a week. So we, Living Classrooms, is very much facilitating, helping people to access food. There's a lot of food insecurity right now, and so we're doing everything we can there. But those close our school. We had to no longer have in-person school, so we began to shift to do everything virtually. We work with 250 children for out-of-school programming out of our seven community centers every day. And so we've had to shift to virtual programming across the board. So that, to answer your question, we've had to adjust a lot of what we're doing.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you for bringing up the Royal Farms effort together. And I've been seeing great stories about that covered, and the fact that that's how you guys really get so much done, it seems like, when you mention H&S Bakery and all the partnerships and your work with Under Armour. And it's a lot about relationships, isn't it, too, about getting people to donate on a large scale, because now more than ever, you mentioned food insecurity, too. That's only going to increase as we, are facing the economic hardship that we have never seen in our lifetime. So this isn't going away anytime soon. So you guys operate on such a large scale and have so many resources. It's really mind-boggling to think of all that you're doing, even amid these restrictions. I mean, I just applaud your efforts. And you're mentioning the virtual learning model. How is that going so far with the kids? Like, how are they responding to that? Or are there any things that you need in that aspect of things, or anything really that people can help you with here, the public that's listening to the show? How can your basic citizen help you guys out with your cause?
Well, thank you. And you mentioned a variety of things, and we are extremely fortunate to have people from all walks of life that support Living Classrooms in a variety of ways, whether it's individuals, whether it's corporations, whether it's foundations, whether it's the city of Baltimore, the state of Maryland, the federal level. We are able to source resources so that we can help the people of Baltimore and Washington. And we've worked hard to develop these relationships over the years. And you mentioned Under Armour and Kevin Plank, and we've been very fortunate. Oprah Winfrey just donated $1 million to us, her second $1 million gift to us over the last couple of years.
That's right. That's huge.
Yeah. But I also want to make sure, it does, that all sounds, it's amazing, but there's tremendous more need than what we've been able to acquire so far. We've had to restrict our programs dramatically, and there's the amount of revenue that we typically get in has been greatly reduced. And so we've been fortunate to have these relationships. For instance, since we've had to go virtual, many of our children do not have the technology, do not have the computers, do not have the Wi-Fi access where they live in public housing or in some of the neighborhoods of Baltimore City. So thanks to leadership at Constellation Energy and at Centrix and at Medifast, we've been able to raise the funds to have over 200 computers that we've been able to put into the hands of these children who otherwise did not have that technology. And so we are making sure that we are able to make to help the children, because so many kids now, there's going to be tremendous learning loss, Gina, across the board. And so by going virtual, we're able to retain contact. Like our Fresh Start students, this is a program we've operated for 30 years, working with adjudicated teens, 16 to 19, who are coming out of a facility and are turning their lives around. We're now able to virtually enroll those students, and we have 19 teenagers enrolled, and we're communicating with them up to 5-6 times a day. We're helping them with their GED. As far as working with returning citizens, our Project Serve crews are now just starting to get back in action to help clean the city and the neighborhoods and along the waterfront. But we have to adhere to the social distancing guidelines, so we can only have 4 people and a driver in our van. So there's a lot of pivoting, a lot of adapting. We're having to spend money on additional materials, and so we are actively fundraising and looking for support as much as possible so that we don't miss a beat in helping the citizens of Baltimore that need our help.
Yeah, because you do so much, not just the food distribution, but you're also giving folks the hygiene and cleaning products they need, right? And helping in other ways too. It's not just food distribution. It's so many things. And you're right about the technology. You need the tools if you're going to do that online learning, and that all costs money. So people can go to livingclassrooms.org, your website, and on your social media platforms too, and find out how they can get involved, even in a a grassroots kind of way, right? If you have something that you could donate, whether it be time. I know there's probably volunteering restrictions these days as well, but nothing that you can't work around, you know?
We're still involving volunteer. We have volunteers that are doing remote interviews because there are different kind of jobs that are available. They're deemed essential jobs, and there's so many people that are looking for work.
You're right.
And so we are still interviewing, helping people with interview and resume work, but we're doing that remotely. And we have some volunteers that are helping with that. And so, yes, we are grateful for any and all support that we could garner. So thank you for your help with that.
One other thing I'll mention related
to how we've had to adapt is we've created something called STEAM Activity Boxes. Our education director, Meg Ward, has led this effort because our ships could not go out with kids anymore. Our field trips are not happening. So we're bringing hands-on learning to children throughout the city. And we've created now almost 10,000 of these STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math boxes that have 5 activities that can be done but with a child and a parent or a grandparent in their home, has all the materials for each of those activities. These are activities that take perhaps not just a 5-minute activity, that take just a couple of hours of activities. And so many kids that are able to have computers, but they're in front of a screen so much of the day, for those who are fortunate to have it, they're looking for something that's hands-on, that's experiential. We work with Michael Phelps' foundation to create emotional wellness activity boxes and create a couple thousand of those that are going out around the region. So we've created a whole new production around this to work with the Baltimore City school system and schools in the area, and they're being distributed from the sites where food is being handed out to children on a daily basis.
That's so important. Thank you for bringing up your partnership with Michael Phelps' foundation, because he's all about mental health awareness. And have you seen this has to impact people going through unprecedented unemployment and food insecurity. Even the little ones, you feel that, and it's emotional. So that I imagine you saw that was a need that you needed to fill, and knowing the great work that Michael does in that area, is that kind of how that happened?
Yes, we've been partnered with Michael Phelps and his mother Debbie Phelps, who's fabulous at Baltimore County Public Schools, over the last couple of years, we've helped to teach almost 300 children how to swim in our summer programs. And this summer, we still hope to be able to do some of that, but because of the pools being closed and the uncertainty around with COVID, we pivoted to create these wellness boxes that are going out to the children. And so we've had a good relationship with Michael Phelps. He's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for bringing that up. And is there any more that we should mention about Living Classrooms Project Serve program that has been working to assist returning citizens when they transition back into their lives? Because you do so many things, I want to make sure that we touch on them enough. So if that was an area I wanted to make sure we talked about, and also getting into the Safe Streets discussion and the issue and rise in violence that we've seen here in Baltimore. So I guess you could take those one at a time since they're sort of separate.
Sure. So regarding Project Serve, that's a partnership that we've been operating that program for almost 25 years and working with returning citizens. And there is a tremendous amount of people now coming home that are coming out of the institutions and coming back into the community. They need help with finding places to live, to quarantine for the 14 days, and to receive training so that they can be prepared to enter the workforce and not to recidivate and return to incarceration. And we've worked
That's important, because that was part of COVID-19. Nonviolent offenders were sort of released from prisons if necessary. And then where do you go? Well, now we know that Living Classrooms Foundation can help you out with things like that, because who else is going to be there if you weren't there, you know?
Well, there are some other organizations, but it's something that we're very focused on and have been doing for quite a while and are looking to scale those efforts. And we're working with Secretary Green on the state level and his staff, and then also funders. That's part of what Oprah's helping us with. And that's something we're really excited about doing. So we're ramping up right now, but we need additional vans. We need 4 or 5 new vans to be able, because we can't, we can no longer put a crew of 10 or 12 in a van. We have,
right,
we only have 4. So things like that, so we can still have our work crews out helping in the communities of Park Heights and South Baltimore. We're looking to expand in the Brooklyn area. We're over in East Baltimore. We clean over 5,000 properties a year to help the city stay clean. And we haven't, and we also have contracts along the waterfront. The National Park Service hires Project Serve, the zoo, many different agencies and organizations. If anyone needs help with cleaning up areas or construction projects, we have a general contractor's license. We rehab a dozen houses over the year. We are looking for work. The more work we can find, the more people we can employ, the more people we can help get off the streets and be successful, and they can help their families. And we do that in team effort.
That's right. And you definitely need those resources now with the social distancing numbers and things, and your big events, like people know you for Maritime Magic and all those great, that's something else that's kind of come to a screeching halt, is nonprofit-based events and social activities. It's so much of your fundraising effort, not all of it, but a good portion of it, in a way that you can,
sure,
raise awareness. And so how have you kind of been adapting? I guess virtual is really the way to go with a lot of these things, and you guys are very, very present in the community. People see the news segments about you and things that you're doing, and that definitely helps too.
Well, you're right. You're not going to see 2,000, 3,000 people coming and rubbing elbows with people they don't know at concerts and or events like Maritime Magic, which this was going to be our 34th annual Maritime Magic this fall. But yeah, we're having to shift to a campaign that's really going to be throughout the year, and it's going to highlight different speakers and music, and we're going back to all of our sponsors and asking them to continue to support, even though we're not going to have an in-person event, whether it's our media sponsors, whether it's corporations that have helped us for years, like Merit Properties and others who we hope that everybody will still be able to support Living Classrooms at the same level that they have over the years. But you're right, we've certainly are not going to be able to throw all the special events like we typically have.
Right,
and
right.
That's a concern, not just for us, but for many nonprofit organizations across the country.
It certainly is. That's why we try to give you guys the spotlight, at least for half an hour, and hope that helps. And that being said, we are running short on time. I want to make sure we get to everything that you need to talk about, whether that's if you want to also talk about how you're combating violence in the area with your 2 Safe Streets sites in,
sure,
East Baltimore,
yeah,
if you want to let us know some of the great work you've been doing through that effort.
Yeah, and so thank you. Safe Streets is really important. We, Living Classrooms, bought Safe Streets to Baltimore almost a dozen years ago, with the first site in East Baltimore, in partnership with the Baltimore City Health Department, and then now that has shifted over to the Mayor's Office of Criminal Justice, and working with Dedra and Anisha and the team out of the city. And now Safe Streets has expanded to 10 sites across the city, and it's very much a community-based approach and a health approach of having violence not spread through people. If they are shot, then retaliating and having mediators, trained mediators, are from the community. And so Living Classrooms now manages sites in the Bel Air Edison, as well as the Melkeldry Park communities of Baltimore City, and those sites have remained open since the pandemic has hit, and we're helping people not only with trying to reduce the violence, because there is still far too much shootings and killings on the streets of Baltimore, and we have got to work day in and day out, 7 days a week to combat this. I'm proud of how the city has responded as far as with the peaceful protests. At the same time, we have got to lower the shooting and killing rate. So we are committed to that day in and day out. Our leaders of Living Classrooms, who lead our community centers and our Safe Street sites, are from the community and of the community, and they are working tirelessly. So that's something that's very, very important to the health of the city, and Living Classrooms is extremely focused on that.
Yeah, you have an amazing team. And in wrapping up, is there anyone that you want to thank, or like if you want to leave us with a positive outcome that you've seen come out of this very, very difficult time? And thank you for your commitment to, you know, everything, education and services. I mean, you really have an all-encompassing. You're just making the city a much, much better place, and you're helping so many people. So thank you for all that you do. And is there anyone else that you want to thank, or any, if you want to tell people also how to get in touch with Living Classrooms and how they can get involved if they haven't already?
Thank you. And we're at www.livingclassrooms.org. Please check us out. Check out our website. Please help us if you can. We are a conduit to helping those most in need, and we are grateful for everyone's support. If you have opportunities at your place of employment to interview people for entry level jobs, that's something that's really important. Please let us know. We have just an amazing it's a team effort, and so I feel very honored to work with an amazing group of people that are very focused on helping improve the city and doing everything we can to support children, youth, and adults to reach their potential in the workplace and in their lives. So thank you for having me on your show, and I wish you a peaceful rest of the weekend.
Absolutely. You too. James Piper Bond has been our guest this morning, president and CEO of the Living Classrooms Foundation here in Baltimore and also in Washington, D.C. Happy Father's Day to you as well again, James. And I'm glad that you brought up people that might have some employment for folks that need it. Absolutely contact you guys at livingclassrooms.org. You're also very active on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And I get your regular newsletters by email, your email blast that let everybody know what's going on with Living Classrooms. And, you know, you have these amazing partnerships, but you always need more. And these are unprecedented times. And definitely we need to continue to support you guys. And you all out there, thank you so much for listening. You can reach out to me on social media on all the platforms at Gina Crash, and I'll put you in touch with Living Classrooms Foundation. Thank you for listening. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.